right now, I'm not going to go into a Carly Simon redo of Anticipation. For those of you old enough to remember that. But it's called Anticipation. And this, I remember as a child anticipating Christmas. You know, it started when the decorations started going up. It started in building this anticipation inside of me when I was finding that perfect gift for my brother and trying to wrap it in a crazy way or hide it or doing something. And I was anticipating what it would be like when I finally gave it to him. I remember the anticipation of buying my parents that very special gift, which they probably, you know, like, where did that come from? But anyway, but I remember just anticipating what their reaction would be. I remember the anticipation of going to Christmas parties having that moment of just celebration. And I remember coming up to Christmas Eve, and I remember the anticipation of tomorrow's Christmas. Tomorrow's Christmas. I'm so excited. What's going to happen? What am I going to get for Christmas? And I remember I would get so worked up inside of me that I couldn't get to sleep. And I knew I got to go to sleep because the faster I go to sleep, the faster Christmas will come. And so I would try to work myself up to going to sleep. Now, how many know how well that works? It doesn't work very well at all. And so I would finally wake up the next morning. It is Christmas, and it's wonderful, and it's great. And just before I know it, it's all gone. I have to go to bed again. What happened? You know, Christmas can sometimes be like that. You know, we anticipate the good things that are going to happen. We anticipate the responses of gifts that we're going to give to people as well as perhaps receive. We anticipate the good times of sharing meals with each other and the warm times together, perhaps as family and friends. We anticipate that moment when Christmas would just happen, or that time when we're making people cheery and bright and doing our best to bring joy into somebody else's life, and we anticipate what Christmas could be, and then Christmas happens, and sometimes it's not quite like we anticipate it to be. In fact, sometimes that time before was better than Christmas itself. And I think that all of us face that feeling of anticipation. And we're coming into a season of anticipation. The church calls it Advent. And for those of you who perhaps came from a more liturgical background, many churches all over the world, many believers all over the world, celebrate Advent. Now, the word Advent actually just means simply coming. It's about the coming of Christ. Advent is usually 4 weeks before Christmas. It's the four Sundays before Christmas, which will actually start this coming Sunday, the first Sunday in December. Four Sundays, and then there's Christmas. And it's the Advent season. And I am anticipating that this season is going to be something a little bit different than what we perhaps expected, because I'm expecting there to be a revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, Advent, it talks about the anticipation of Christ. And Revelation says about Christ, he was the one, he who was and is to come. That with anticipation of Advent, we're anticipating his birth here on earth. He is the Messiah who came to earth. But in similar ways, he's also the ever-present, ever-revealing Messiah. He continually comes to us. He continually reveals himself to us as the Messiah, as the Christ. And he comes to us time and time again in situations and in circumstances in our life. He is the Christ who came, the Christ who is still coming in our world and in our life. And then ultimately, the unfulfilled prophecy of he is and will be the Christ who will come again. And so this season of Advent, and as a church, we have never really celebrated particularly Advent. But this year, the elders have decided that we're going to focus on these four Sundays of Advent, where we can take the focus that is so difficult to move off of all the stuff and all the activities and all that, and actually as a body focus on four specific things of Advent, four specific things about his coming, and that is hope, love, joy, and peace. And so for the next four Sundays, we're going to focus on those particular elements of Advent: hope, love, joy, and peace. And I'm going to encourage you as individuals and as families to perhaps start a new tradition for your family. And that is to help your family, help yourself, to focus on the next 4 weeks on those four different topics of hope, love, joy, and peace. And if you have young children, and you can adapt this, but we have available for you today Advent devotionals for families with children. This is, and it's free for you today, one for family, that you can use with your families to celebrate the coming of Christ, both the He who is and was and is to come. And this is a weekly, one time a week that you could sit with your family and talk about Christ who's coming. And it's a way to, for you to focus on Christ this season. And individually, we have this book available. Now, we sold out a lot of them last service. We're trying to get some more. But anyway, this is from Louis Giglio, and it's called Waiting Here for You, An Advent Journey of Hope. This is an excellent book, individually and with even some older children, that you can go through on a daily basis, actually starting today it starts, but going through the season and focusing on the hope of Jesus Christ and his coming. And this we're just selling for what we paid for it, $5, and it's going to be available in the back, in the foyer at a table when you leave. But anyway, the purpose is so that this season, where it's so easy to focus and anticipate good things, we're trying to say, God, how can we focus even on better things? Focus on you. Focus on your coming. There was, in the New Testament, there was a man that not only anticipated the coming of the Messiah, but actually was part of the drama of Christ coming to earth and his baptizing him. His name was John, and he was called John the Baptist. And it's John the Baptist not because he went to First Baptist Church of Judea, but that he baptized people. And Jesus was baptized by John. But John knew all the scriptures. He knew all of the prophecy. In fact, most Jews in that day, the learned ones, would have almost a list of what would be the significant things that would happen in order to point to the Messiah. And John knew about this. And many aspects of John's life is worth studying, and we don't have time today to go into a lot of them. But one of the things I wanted to talk about just briefly this morning is about John's anticipation of the Messiah. He was a Jew, and he knew the Old Testament prophecies. He knew what the Messiah was to look like. He had a checklist, as it were, of what it would be to point to the Messiah. He knew that the Messiah would be an offspring of a woman that would crush the head of Satan. He knew that the Messiah would come from the lineage of Abraham, and that because of that, the whole earth would be blessed. He knew that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. That was written. He also knew that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. And so all of this John understood. It was like the checklist that John knew of what the Messiah would look like. There were also other prophecies of his life, of the life of the Messiah, that John understood, that the Messiah would establish a throne and a kingdom and a dynasty that would last forever. And that this Messiah would be a person who could perform miracles before their very eyes. John understood that. John also heard the prophecy that this Messiah would come riding into a triumphal entry into a city on a donkey. He knew that would be the one who was called the Messiah. He also knew that the Messiah would be pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our sins and for our iniquities. That he would die amongst the wicked yet be buried among the rich, and pointing to the fact that Jesus would die on the cross amongst those who were labeled as thieves and sinners, but would be buried in a tomb that was meant for a rich man. And so John understood that. He also understood that even though the Messiah would die an earthly death, that he would be resurrected back to life. And so all of this is in John's mind. He also knew that he would be a forerunner to the Messiah, that John had a role. John knew what he was called to do. The Old Testament prophecy said that there would be a messenger, someone who would come before the Messiah to prepare the way. And that was John's role, and that's what John was doing in the land. John was a man who ushered in the new from the old. In fact, he was sort of what I call a man in the middle. He was between what was the old covenant and the new covenant. And he was standing in the gap. He was ushering in from the old to the new. He was a man who believed and anticipated the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament. And in fact, he was, as a forerunner, he was the man who declared Christ as the Messiah. If you look at John chapter 1, verses 29 and verse 30. Says the next day, John was baptizing, and he says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him. And John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.'" And John declared in multiple ways that this was the Messiah. And yet, at this moment, right shortly after that, John finds himself in prison. See, I want you to put yourself in the position of John. It was like an actor who had received a script. He knew his part in the script, and he kept reading the lines, and he kept going page by page, and he says, "Yeah, I know where this story's going. I know where it's headed. I know what my part is." And he flips the page, and suddenly it's like, where did that come from? That wasn't in the script. I don't understand. Put yourself in John's place. He says, "You know, God, I'm of a people who have been longing for the Messiah, who believed in the Messiah, who knew what the Messiah was going to look like, and who had waited and longed for thousands of years for this Messiah and anticipating his coming. And I, John, have anticipated your coming. I have believed what I have read. I have believed in you. I was called to be your front man, the forerunner. I was called to do what was in the script, and I did it exactly like the script said. And I have been waiting for you, and I have done what you called me to do. Now, why am I in prison? This doesn't seem to follow the script. This doesn't seem to look what I thought it would look like. Where's your throne? Where's your kingdom? Why haven't you taken over the government? Why haven't you caused the government to dissolve and release me from prison? Why? I didn't anticipate this, God. It's not what I expected. And so John is in prison, probably wrestling with these things in his heart, because he, like many of the Jews of that day, thought that when the Messiah would come, when the Messiah would be revealed, that there would be an instantaneous kingdom that would be established on earth, that the Messiah would come and rule and reign, and all the other kingdoms would be dissolved on earth, and he would take up the rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which was in the scripture, and that the children of Israel would not be in bondage anymore. There'd be no slavery for them, that they would be set free. And John's anticipation was, it's going to happen when the Messiah is revealed. I have revealed the Messiah. Here he is. I believed. But it's not happening like I thought it would happen. I'm here in prison. And so John sends a question to Jesus. and ask him a very, very important question. Now, some theologians will debate on whether it was for the sake of John that he asked these questions or was it the sake of his disciples. I don't think it matters, because the issue is that John asked the question to Jesus. Jesus responded, and the answer went back to John. And this was the question. If you look at Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to Jesus, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" Can you imagine what was going on in John's mind? Jesus, are you really the one? Are you really the Messiah? Are you the one that we've longed for? Or should we look for someone else, because the script isn't happening like I thought it was going to happen? And Jesus took the question and he responded back to John. And he responded by giving John the prophetic words of what the Messiah was supposed to be able to do. And Jesus said in Matthew 11, verses 4 and 5, "Jesus answered and said to them who were asking the question for John, 'Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them.'" You see, John knew those scriptures and knew that they were the prophetic words that were spoken thousands of years ago about the Messiah. And Jesus is saying, "See, I am the Messiah. See what I am doing." These things were proof to John that, yes, this is the Messiah. And yet there was something that was a conflict with John. Because if all those things are true and you are the Messiah, then why am I in prison? And what has happened? Where is your kingdom? Where's your kingdom being established? See, what John and others in that day anticipated was a natural longing for something that they expected to be born out in the flesh. See, John expected a man, the Messiah, who could perform miracles. But what Jesus did was set in order a whole different thing. There was something more that Jesus was setting in order, because he was releasing the miraculous to flow through his sons and his daughters. It wasn't just one man that would operate in the miraculous. John anticipated an earthly kingdom that was established right then and there. But what God had planned to give through Jesus was a supernatural kingdom to be established forever and ever with heavenly authority, power to come and to manifest itself on earth through his children, so that now we have the opportunity to affect kingdoms all over the world from generation to generation. You see, what John anticipated was far less than what God had planned. And so John expected the Messiah to come and to bear a gift of an earthly kingdom. But what was being received was a supernatural kingdom of God that would change all of humanity. And so with this, John's script didn't look like what he anticipated. And so I'm going to ask you this morning, have you already written your script for this Christmas season? Have you already planned out what Christmas is going to look like for yourself and for your family? Are you only anticipating good gifts, both given and received? Are you satisfied with just good meals and parties and warm evenings with family and friends? And all this is really good. Are you anticipating a Christmas day that's going to be exciting, but that will be over in 24 hours? Or are you anticipating the power of Jesus to show up in your world and radically transform your life and those lives of people around you? What is your anticipation this Christmas? He has come. He continues to come. And he will come again. He is the one. There is no other. He is the one that spoke to the blind and they regained their sight, to the lame and they became healed. But how much more does God want to do, even in this season? Those who are blinded and in darkness, in their own soul and spirit, could it be that we should anticipate that they gain light? Or those around us, or even ourselves, that may not be crippled in the flesh, but we're crippled in spirit because of the stuff of earth and the stuff that has broken us. And yet in this season, God wants to say, I am the one that brings healing to the crippled, both in the flesh and in the spirit. I am their hope. I give hope to those who need healing. I give hope to those who are blind. I give hope to those who are in darkness that they will see. I give hope to those who are crippled that they will walk again. He is the God who cleanses the lepers, those who are unclean, those who, because of their disease, have been set aside and have been disenfranchised with society, who have felt no love because you couldn't even hold them or grab them because you couldn't touch them because of their disease. And God comes to bring them love and to cleanse them of their disease. What is it that God wants to do this season to us and to those around us to cleanse us and to give us love where in the areas of our life where we felt untouched by love? What about those things in our lives where Jesus brought dead people to life, and yet in our own lives there are things that are dead inside of us that God wants to resurrect to life? Because instead of sorrow of things that are dead and gone, he wants to bring us joy, because he is the resurrection power that brings the dead things back to life. He's also the gospel of peace. That peace that brings reconciliation between us and God, and also between us and our brother and sister. He is the peace. He is the one who declares, I am peace in every situation and circumstance. So what are your expectations for Christmas? This is the challenge for me. It's the challenge for all of us. What do we anticipate or expect? Do we expect that he is the one who will bring hope? Do we expect and anticipate his love? Do we expect and anticipate joy to come into our heart? Do we expect he will show up and bring peace in situations where there seems like there could be no peace? Anticipate him this season. John gets something else from Jesus in Jesus' response to John. Because he says, this is Jesus to John, in Matthew 11, verse 6, Jesus says to John, he says, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. An interesting statement. Now we know, even a few verses right after that, Jesus was talking about John and he said, there's no one greater that has ever been born of woman on earth than John. So this offense that Jesus was saying, John, blessed are you when you're not offended. Offense is that word is like it's like a stumbling block. It means that someone may trip or fall over an offense. It causes a person to maybe distrust someone who they should trust and obey. That's what that word means, offense. And Jesus is saying, you are blessed when you're not offended by me. Now that's an interesting statement because Jesus went around, he offended most everybody. He did because he didn't operate like what other people thought he should operate. He did things that were just counter to what the theologians of that day thought the Messiah should do. He did like crazy things, like he actually had friends with sinners. He was friends with sinners and they had dinner with them. He messed people up, and it's really interesting. When Jesus brought truth, sometimes truth offends. And yet Jesus, I think, was saying to John, John, you will be blessed when your anticipation and expectation of me changes. When you're not offended that I didn't follow the script that you thought I was to follow. You are blessed when you anticipate something that's more than what you thought. And I think Jesus would be saying to us today, I'm more. I am the one. I am more than just a nice looking chubby baby in a manger. But I am the one who is, who was, and is to come. Anticipate more this year. Anticipate hope, love, joy, and peace. And I want us to pray and ask Holy Spirit to show us in our own lives this morning. Holy Spirit, you are the one. You are the one. You are the Messiah who has come. And in this season, as we attempt to do our best to focus on you and not on all the stuff of the earth, Father, I ask that you help us to focus on you as our hope. And so right now, Holy Spirit, show us what areas of our life we need your hope. And Father, may this season, we anticipate you stepping into our world and bringing us that hope. You are the one who brings love. Father, there's places in our hearts and our spirits and in our lives where we perhaps feel the opposite. We feel unloved. Holy Spirit, what should we anticipate over this season? Help us to anticipate you coming and bringing that love into our heart, into our spirit. It's been so shallow of love. Father, you are the one. You came to earth to bring joy. Father, we're in our hearts. Show us that things have died and there's just sorrow. But Father, you call us this season to anticipate new life and fullness of joy. Help us, Father, to anticipate you. You are the one who brings peace. Father, in most of our lives, there are places where we are not at peace. Father, show us today. Change our anticipation this season, that we anticipate more than just a good Christmas day. But Lord, we expect you to show up to bring everlasting peace into situations where there's been tumult. Thank you, Father. The gospel of peace was given to us because it really was that peace that brings us at peace with God. Because his coming to earth was all about the reconciliation and the rebuilding of family between man and God. Sin separated us. The enemies tried to destroy our relationship with God. And yet Christ came with the good news that there can be reconciliation between God the Creator and man the creation. So today, you can have a great Christmas with all the fun stuff, but truly the hope, the love, the joy, and the peace is very fleeting if you don't have a relationship with Christ. And if that is you today and you're saying, I really need that relationship. I've heard about it. I know the story. I may not understand all of the Bible, may not understand, but I know that I need a Savior. And if that's you this morning, you just raise your hand. I just want to pray with you. Is there anyone this morning? Okay. If you would stand, please. There's something that is so miraculous about the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God comes, and the kingdom of God dwells among us, and it is in us, and we are children of the kingdom of God. We operate as children of a family of God, of a kingdom of God. And so this year, I believe God is calling us as a church family to anticipate more from him. But there's an interesting phenomenon that takes place. And that is that God's kingdom works through us to others. So throughout this season, you may be the vessel of God to bring hope to someone who needs hope. You may be love to someone who feels totally unloved. You may be joy and bring joy into circumstances and situations. That God uses you in a miraculous way to bring his presence of joy into someone's life. And finally, in two different ways, you may be one who is able to share the gospel of peace to someone this Christmas, this season, who needs the peace of God in their life and in their heart. It may be you that God's calling, not a preacher, not a sermon somewhere else. It can be you because you are a child of the living God. You walk in the authority of the kingdom of God to spread the gospel of peace to those around you. And parallel to that, you all will be walking into situations, some of you, where there is little peace, and God is calling you to be the peacemaker. And God is going to anoint you to be the peacemaker in various situations this year. Anticipate Him. Anticipate Him. He is the one. Anticipate Him like you've never before to show up this Christmas season that will far surpass anything that you have done traditionally in your Christmas celebrations. Expect Him. He is the one. So, Father, I thank You for my brothers and sisters here. I thank You, Lord, for calling us as a family. I thank You, Lord, that You are hope, You are love, You are joy, You are peace. And so this season, Lord, we ask You to help us to focus more than ever upon You, You, the Messiah. In Your name, amen, amen. Blessings to you all. Have a great week. The books, the devotional for families,